Well, it's quite poignant to have a sharing time on the day that we are talking about sharing our faith, because we are at, as I said before, the pointy end of this series of step in and how we can step into the mission of God. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this thing about a habitus. A habitus is a pattern or a rhythm of practices that help shape us to be more Christ-like and to prepare us to be participating in the mission of God. And this week, we are up to looking at sharing. And what that means to share Jesus and our faith in our everyday life. Now, of these three that we have been talking about, the praying, the living, the sharing, sharing is probably the most explicitly missional of the three. It is literally about opening our mouths and speaking the word of Jesus into other people's lives. But if you were to rank pray, live, and share in order of your passion and your gifting, how would you rank them for yourself? Like, which one do you naturally gravitate towards and do the best? And which one do you maybe struggle with or maybe isn't your strongest one? For many people, interesting conversation, I learned that sharing seems to be number three for many of us. Because let's face it, spending time in prayer is just between you and God, and that's really easy to do. No one's watching. Living, it's all about our actions and how we show love and care to people, and that's really easy to do, to put actions to our beliefs. But when it comes to putting words to those actions or words to that faith, many of us end up finding it intimidating. Not all of us, but some of us do. Or we worry that we have to have the exact right words and we stumble over them, or we get concerned about pushback or rejection. And if I can, I suppose, be honest for a moment and confess, I find sharing to be my number three. It's just one of those things that isn't my natural thing. I can do the pray, I can do the live, that's really easy. I struggle with share. And so as I share this morning, this is a place of me learning as much as teaching. Because while I can go out and do it, it's one of those things that if you could actually sit inside my brain when I'm talking to someone about Jesus who doesn't know him yet, it's like there's this recording, or not a recording, but a prayer going at a million miles an hour. Jesus, help me right now. Jesus, give me the right words to speak. Jesus, I'm trusting you because I don't know what I'm doing. Because it just doesn't become my natural default. And I think we've all met people before who it is their natural default. They just have this natural ability. And you might be walking along the road with them and they suddenly spot someone. They're just over there going, hey, you need Jesus. Have you met Jesus before? And like within half an hour of conversation, they've converted them. And you're like, how did you do that? What is going on? And for some people, that is an amazing gifting that they have. But not all of us feel like we have that gifting, right? Yet we're all called to evangelize. We are all called to share our faith. The early church, they believed that sharing faith was something for everyone to do. As we read through the book of Acts and throughout the rest of the New Testament, we see so many stories where it seems everybody got a chance to share their faith, both in their actions, in their prayer, and in speaking it. And doing that, it might be easy to look at in the early church and go, oh yeah, but there was religious around the place. Many of them were Jews. That's easy to explain away. That, and today's climate is a bit more hostile towards Christianity. So it's a bit different. It's a bit harder to do. And even if we do think that, even if we perceive that there's a difficulty in bringing up the things of God to people in our world, what I've actually found in reality is if I hide behind that, I never actually step out and share. And what I have found is when I have got up the courage to say, hey, I'm a Christian, in fact, I'm a pastor, and here's what I believe and what I know about Jesus, I found so many people are actually open to hearing it. So many more people are willing to engage in a spiritual conversation than I thought. And if we're going to fully participate in God's mission and step into it, we're going to find some way to be able to share our faith, because it's something that Jesus asked us to do. I mean, it's the last thing he said to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven. Go into the world and teach people everything I've taught you. Go and make disciples. And it's not just part of this habits or circle that we go, ah, oh, well, I got two out of three, that's good enough, I'll leave the third one to people who are good at it. No, we're supposed to do all of it. And sharing is part of participating in God's mission. And as we talk about this today, I want you to sort of think about it in three concentric circles. Yes, it's primarily about going out and sharing our faith with people. But at the same time, I'd love for us to think about how this plays out at home and at church and out in the world. And I think those three circles are worth thinking through as we talk about this, because we have a role to share our faith with our own family and our own household, sharing and modeling our faith with our kids and our loved ones and those who know us well. We also have a role to share our faith in our church, like we've just been doing this morning, encouraging each other and seeing how God is at work and sharing those stories with others. But we also have the call to share our faith with people who don't know Jesus yet as well. And it's the same thing. It's telling our story, telling stories of how God has made a difference in our lives, telling stories of our experience with Jesus. As we think through that, 1 Peter 3:15 says this, and it's a very well-known verse, but it says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Two things stand out to me in that verse. The first, be prepared to give an answer so that you're ready when some opportunity arises to be able to share our faith. But the other thing that stands out to me is do it with gentleness and respect. Because if you're imagining walking out of these doors and going out and Bible bashing someone or forcing faith conversations into every moment in your life, every time you speak to someone, hey, here's my $5 for my McDonald's. Do you know Jesus? That's not what I'm talking about. We don't want to be obnoxious about it. We want to do it with gentleness and respect. I mean, I saw a video this week on social media of a man on a train, a very crowded train, trying to preach the word of Jesus, and all power to him that he was willing to share it. But no one wanted to hear it in that moment. It was not the right time. People were not open and receptive to it. He was obnoxious. And the arguments that came out in that video, I was like, dude, wrong moment, wrong time. You didn't do it right. That's not what I'm talking about when we say go share our faith. What we're talking about is, as we've been examining throughout this series, is doing it led by the Holy Spirit, following his leading and seeing where is God already at work in people around us. Spotting that and seeing how we can participate in what God is already doing. It might be with a friend or a coworker. It might be with a family member. It might be with a child who has been seeing what you do at church and is going, why do you guys drink a little tiny bit of juice every couple of weeks? And you can explain what's going on. And when these little moments of opportunity to share our faith arise, it's about us being responsive and willing to share and answer the best we can. And if you ever think that these opportunities are never coming up for you, first off, let's open our eyes and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. But second, we can pray and ask God to bring these opportunities across our path. And when we do pray and ask God to bring these opportunities, he does. I've found that when I've been dangerous enough and bold enough to say, God, give me an opportunity this week, the opportunities come up and I can't miss them. So I think we need to, as Peter said in this verse, to be ready. And if, like me, you don't feel like you're a natural evangelist going out to find people with intention to share your faith every day, then maybe we can learn how to share our faith where we are planted. If you have your Bible, do you want to open it to the book of Acts, chapter 18? And we're going to have a look at Paul's example of how he went to a city of Corinth and how he found ways to share his faith in the gospel where he was planted. So we're going to be Acts 18. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to use a few different parts of Acts 18 this morning. Acts 18 says this: after this, he was in Athens. He left Athens and went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, you might look at me and go, Ben, you're talking about sharing where you're planted. You're talking about Paul, a natural evangelist and missionary. That doesn't quite line up with me right now. And I get that. And the passage says that Paul intentionally went out preaching, which might not sound like just sharing where you're planted, but I think we can still learn a bunch of principles from this passage, from what Paul was doing here in his experience in Corinth. And it's about sharing our faith where we are, because God can use our work and our skills and our relationships as our mission fields. God can use our work, our skills, our relationships as mission fields. Because Paul comes to Corinth, a town or a city that probably would fit in quite naturally with modern Australia. It was wealthy, it was pleasure-seeking, it was self-focused. It's a nice way to describe our country, isn't it? Yet they were spiritually open. They were open to talking about things of God. And when he got here to Corinth, he met Aquila and Priscilla. They were Jews who had come from Italy because Italy was expelling them at the time. But he was drawn to them because they were tent makers like him. That was his trade. That was what he fell back on as a money-making thing. This is what Paul was trained to do. And so he linked up with them and he joined with them in the tent making and participated in that with them. He forms a friendship and they hang out for a while. And what we see is Paul did not shy away from his ordinary, normal life stuff and used it almost as a basis for how he was going to share his faith. Because I'm sure that conversations came up with the three of them about, what's your story? What did you do on the weekend? Or who is Jesus? And they talked about Jesus a lot. And they formed, through this process of being tent makers together, a gospel partnership. Aquila and Priscilla became key parts of Paul's mission work in Corinth. And the reason I bring this up is because I think what we see there is we don't have to silo our lives and go, it's Sunday, I'm at church, I'm a good Christian. It's Monday, I'm at work. Don't ever say the word Jesus around here because everyone will yell at me. It's Monday night, I'm at home, I can be a Christian again. If we silo our lives like that, that's not being generous to our real faith, is it? We need to be living it out in all parts of our life. I think Jesus impacts all of my life, whether it's at work or at home or at school or at church. And Paul shows here he didn't silo it. And we can still live out our faith and share it in our conversations. We're gentle and respectful and appropriate, as Peter said. The other thing I see Paul doing here is he has a regular habit of going and sharing in the synagogue. Like, he was regularly going to places where Jews and other Christians potentially were hanging out, sharing his stories and talking about his faith, testifying what he knew from his own experience and his own story, both to encourage people in their faith, but also to try and convince Jews and Gentiles and Greeks about Jesus. And when it comes down to it, thinking about it that way, sharing our faith isn't all that complicated. It's not as complicated as we think it might be. Yes, Paul might have been a natural evangelist, but he's not the only person in the world with a story about how Jesus had changed him. We all have that story, don't we? A story of the impact that Jesus has had in our life. We've just had two baptisms in the last couple of weeks, and we've heard two different stories from Faz and Juliet about the difference Jesus has made in their lives, of how they came to know him and what change it has caused. And you, as a believer, as someone who has come to know Jesus yourself, you have your own story of what Jesus has done for you. That's your story. I can't share your story with any impact like you can. It's a story we can share because it's sharing what we already know. Sharing our stories and stories God has done in our lives, like how we met him, what my life was like before, what my life is like now. Sharing these stories is a very powerful way we can point people towards Jesus. Because it's real lived experience. It shows people evidence of the power of God at work in someone's real life, yours. While people might be skeptical of religion, it's harder to argue against real lived experience. There's a power in our personal story, so we should use it. What we see with Paul at sometimes is he was looking for opportunities to share his story where he was planted. And other times he went out intentionally to be able to share it with people. And so, let's pray for opportunities to come up. Let's ask God, can you bring people across my path? Can you open doors? Can you bring moments for me to be able to share my story with people? But at the same time, let's not ignore the places where we actually are planted already. The places where the opportunities might be already in front of us. Because God might be at work in the life of someone right in front of us. And they're just waiting for the opportunity to be able to talk about it. Maybe look out for times when someone asks a spiritual question or suddenly seems open to having a conversation about God. Or if the moment naturally leans to it, say something that relates to Jesus. Ask God for those moments to become obvious to you and be ready and willing to say something. I say ready and willing because often our default is to hide and maybe not be so open about our faith and being explicit with it. But if we're ready and open and willing, we aren't walking around like going, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, everybody needs Jesus. That's a really outdated joke of Oprah, isn't it? But if that's how we're walking around, like, again, that's the obnoxious style. But at the same time, you do need Jesus, you do need Jesus, you do need Jesus. If we're ready and willing and open to be able to share our faith, we're going to spot the opportunities more willingly and we're going to be ready to engage in those, ready to talk about it as though it's one of the most significant parts of our lives. When I was listening to Mike Stevens, the author of this book, and he was sharing the things that led him to write the book and his research and what he learned out of it, he shared with us a story about a young girl in his church. She worked at a cake shop. And over the time that she worked there, she got to know her co-workers, as you do. And they often chatted about all sorts of things, but she was very intentional about bringing up her faith as they worked together. Like when she was asked, what did you do on the weekend? She often talked about the fact she went to church on Sundays and what that meant for her. And she also shared stories of God moving in her life and what he'd been doing in her life and with her friends and the changes that had been made in their lives. Every time those opportunities came out, she took them. And she was like, in one sense, this is risky because I could be alienated here in the workplace. But at the same time, I want to be true to my faith and actually share the reality. This is what's going on for me. And eventually, one of her co-workers actually came along with her to church on an Easter Sunday and then started exploring faith and is now in a journey of understanding who Jesus is and becoming part of their church. And this girl at their church, she committed to not shying away from the opportunities of talking to her faith with her co-workers. She was sharing where she was planted. And her story, it shows the wonderful outcome of when it all goes right. But when we talk about Jesus in a secular world, it doesn't always feel so successful, does it? Sometimes we share, but nothing comes of it. Sometimes we'll say something and the person will just go, no, not for me. Just keep that to yourself, please. Or maybe they did engage in the moment and they were open and asking questions and talking about it, but they never bring it up again. And you're like, did that conversation ever make a difference? Or we learn to shrink back so that we don't cause waves because we don't want to be the person who stands out and get the tall poppy syndrome and something go wrong. And so we start going, why would I ever do this again? Like the fear of being rejected or not being effective seems to stop so many of us today. It makes us feel uncomfortable about sharing our faith and planting those seeds. What we do find when we open our mouth in the right moments with the people who are open is sometimes people are more open than we thought. And sometimes those conversations have more lasting impact than we ever imagined they did. What people need from us is real, authentic conversations where we can just share our story and be real about it. And I've come to realize that even if I share my faith and it doesn't produce an instant visible fruit, it was not in vain. Like throughout his writings to the Corinthians, Paul addresses this and he says, look, any work done for the Lord is not wasted. He said that in 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about, hey, you might just be planting a seed. And you might not see the end of it because someone else might be watering it. But you know what? At the end of the day, who makes it grow? Is it you and your amazing words? No, it's God who makes the seed grow. We are just the people who are having the conversations, planting the seeds, and trusting God and his Holy Spirit to have that moment move and grow inside them. If you've ever shared and thought you made no impact, perhaps there'll be a story down the road. We had that a few weeks ago, didn't we? We heard a story that thought, it felt like it had ended, but a few years later saw the ending of it. It was a fantastic story. The conversation you have might plant a seed that sees someone change later on. And your words might stick with them and cause them to go seeking spiritual things. It might open further conversations up later on for you. You don't know what's going to happen. But don't shy away just because you're like, that was a wasted conversation. No, just still engage with them. You don't know how God will use it. Another one of the intimidating things that holds us back, or at least sometimes holds me back, is this thinking that people aren't even interested in faith at all. So, you know what? Let's just make it easy for ourselves. Let's go talk to the people who are. Now, that seems like a cop-out at first. But the Bible calls these people, people of peace. A person of peace is someone who likes you, who listens to you, welcomes you into their life. People who already want to talk to you. People who you get along with, who let conversations go deeper than just surface-level stuff, and they seem genuinely interested in you. When Jesus sent the disciples out to go and preach and to share the good news, he told them, gravitate towards these people of peace. If people shut you out, that's okay. Move on to someone else. They might be a person of peace. And this is more than just looking for a person you like, and it's about finding a person who is receptive. If it's a person who says they were open to this stuff and they're receptive to what you are saying, then maybe God has been preparing something in them that you weren't aware of already. This is the moments where we can see the Holy Spirit leading us to where God is already at work. And maybe an opportunity will open up as they come across your path. So let's start with the people of peace, because we're going to find far more traction and far more fruit if we do. Now, I'm skimming through a lot of topics here. We could expand this one message into a long series. But I'm hoping you're starting to understand when we shy away from this, we're keeping ourselves apart from a huge mission field that God has invited us to participate in. And God hasn't invited us into a very difficult mission. He's invited us into something that he's already doing the legwork in. We are called by Jesus to make disciples and to step into that. And that involves us sharing, talking about Jesus in conversations, letting people know you are a Christian. Like, can you imagine how bad it would be if someone came to you one day and said, I've come to know Jesus and I want to share it with you. And you're like, I'm already a Christian. How bad would that make you feel? At least it would make me feel horrible. Like, wow, I didn't actually live a life that you noticed, or I didn't actually have the guts to tell you I was a Christian and share my faith. But if we have these opportunities coming across our path and we get to share things, we probably need to start preparing about how we're going to actually say the good news of Jesus. One of the barriers, I keep talking about barriers today, but one of the barriers that holds us back is not even knowing where to start. So I want to share with you just a couple of different tools, and these are going to be very generic. Please apply in the situation responsibly. But just things that you could have in your back pocket so that when opportunities arise, you feel more prepared and more like, oh, I know what I want to say. Now, this isn't about getting a script ready so that you turn into a robotic, I know Jesus and you need to know him because he is the savior of the world. People aren't going to engage with that. People are going to engage with real authentic stories. But this just helps us get into the mindset of how we can be ready to share our faith. First, just our 90-second faith story. And this is literally our story, our testimony. When we invite people to be baptized, we talk with them about writing their story or their testimony. And we just do it under these three headings. What was my life like before I met Jesus? How did I meet Jesus? Like, what was that story? And what's the difference that he's made in my life ever since? Just three parts of my life. Like, what was my life before? How did I meet Jesus? And what change has he made? And if you can summarize that in like a 90-second story without overburdening people with like a two-hour version of the lead up to that, it's going to be a really powerful way to be able to say, this is what God has done in a quick sort of 90-second go. So maybe as you think about what is your story, you could sit down and just think about it, prepare it. If you're the sort of person who wants to write it out, get it on paper, refine it, just work out the dot points, not so that you have a script, but so that you have an idea of that story and even practice saying it to someone. Get a close family member or a trusted friend and say, can I just practice my 90-second story on you? Just so you can get your story used to be able to share the story and the details you think are appropriate to share. Because our sharing our story is important because it's a powerful thing. It doesn't have to be long or spectacular. Some of our stories we might think are boring. They're not. It's about Jesus moving in your life. But it just needs to be your real story of the difference Jesus has made. So that's the first thing. Let's just try and work out a quick version of our story so we can share it with others. The next thing I want to show you is a tool. And this is a tool about how to share the gospel in three circles. And this is just a way for us to be able to summarize the global gospel story and use like a diagram where we can unpack, hey, this is what it means to actually be a Christian. This is what the gospel is about. And I'm going to unpack this next week in our more practical sermon. But the 10-second version of it is this. God had a design for the world, for creation, this perfect design of how he designed things to be. Yet through sin, we decided to go our own way and follow our own designs, and that didn't work out so well. And that led to a place of brokenness. And in that brokenness, we're finding all sorts of ways to try and escape it. That the wiggly lines talk about the different ways we try to escape that brokenness, and they lead to nowhere. The only way out of that brokenness is through the good news gospel of Jesus, who came and took the weight of the sin and the brokenness on himself on the cross. He died and paid that sin debt, and then he rose again to show his power over sin and death. And so what is our journey out of brokenness? It's to repent and believe that message, to meet Jesus in that space and let his forgiveness wash over us. And so from there, we move back towards orienting our lives back towards God's original design, trying to live out that original way. Do you see how that circle just sort of helps us outline that in really simple, basic ways? I'll help you guys next week to learn that so you can have that in your back pocket as well. But again, it's just a tool that might become useful in one stage, that you can learn the three circles and work out how to use that. You can draw it on a napkin. You can draw it on an iPad or whatever at any moment. Another way to be prepared is just to ask some meaningful questions. Now, I knew someone who I thought they were just so fantastic at being like an extrovert and meeting people and saying, you know, you'd meet them for the first time and you feel like they knew you straight away. I found out later they were a raging introvert and they just learned three key questions in their life that they were going to ask people. And there was about things like, who's your favorite actor and why is it Hugh Jackman? Those sorts of questions, just to get people to smile and engage with you in some way. In the same way, we can use questions to point people back to Jesus. And if you struggle to engage in conversation, sometimes having these questions lined up, or at least the concept of them, can help us move conversations along. Sometimes because the invitation to share Jesus is never going to be that open and explicit. It's not going to be, I'm ready to talk about Jesus now. Can we have that conversation today? That's not going to happen all the time. Sometimes we're just going to have to notice the opportunity and point the conversation in that direction. So here's just some example questions. And again, very generic, but like, where do you think God might be in this situation that we're talking about? Have you considered where he might be? Or if they mention anything to do with spiritual matters, maybe you could say, hey, what do you think spirituality means to you? These questions just open doors to have deeper conversations. Or do you have any faith? What do you put your faith in? What foundations do you stand your life on? Who do you think God is? Or what does the idea of God mean to you? These sort of questions just open up the option to be able to talk about God stuff. Do you ever pray? Who do you pray to? What causes you to pray? Just questions that can cause people to think about God for a moment. It might not go anywhere, but it might also plant a seed for a later conversation. Each of these tools, they're helpful and have had success with many different people in the past, but it's not always going to be straightforward. It's never going to always turn out to be I followed these three steps and this person came to Jesus this week and it was fantastic. That when that happens, man, amen, it's amazing. It feels so awesome. But when we go step out and it doesn't quite work, and we face opposition and we face people going, why are you asking this meaningful question? We can get a bit discouraged. So I want to go back to the example of Paul in Acts 18 and see what happened when Paul faced rejection when he started talking about Jesus. Let's go back to verse 5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I am going to the Gentiles." Whoa. I mean, in this situation, Paul has found Jews in Corinth, and they've not only rejected him, but they've got verbally abusive, and he's had a pretty strong reaction here. But the important thing, I think, to notice is what happens next. Yeah, Paul gets angry. Paul gets discouraged. But then he leaves and goes into the company of some fellow believers. Verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door, to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Now, our path out of discouragement might not ever be as instant as this. But how amazing that Paul literally went next door, found a Christian named Titius Justus, and there found safety and encouragement in the arms of other believers. And not only that, the leader of the synagogue that had just abused him, as in the synagogue people, not the leader, he came across because he was interested. And he came to know Jesus in that place. What an incredible story that despite being rejected by the Jews in the synagogue, there was still someone, in this case the leader, who was still receptive. And out of this frustrating experience of just sharing the good news and being abused for it, Paul still eventually found fruit. And the story goes on to show many people became believers and were baptized. So what do we learn here about experiencing rejection when we share with someone? Do we shake our clothes and tell them to go away? No, that's not the lesson I think we learn. I think what we need to see is what happens after that. That in an instance of rejection or opposition, it should not stop us from participating and sharing. But we might need to go retreat for a moment back with our fellow believers to find the encouragement and find and remember that rejection in one place or form does not mean God is not still working in the world around us. One instance of rejection does not mean God is not working. It might have been the wrong place at the wrong time. It might have been on a train and being what seemed obnoxious. It might have been in a synagogue with a bunch of Jews who were suddenly not receptive at all. The person might not have been a person of peace. Maybe God has a different door open for you. Don't give up just because the experience went wrong. Come back with the fellow believers. Unpack the experience. Find the encouragement. Don't feel like you're alone or that sharing was a waste of time. What we see in the next few verses is God brings encouragement to Paul and shows his presence is visible to Paul. Next verse 9 says this, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. God reminds Paul here of a few things. He says, don't be afraid. He says, keep on speaking. Don't be silent. He says, I am with you. He makes a promise to Paul specifically, no one is going to harm you here. But he says this, you are not alone. I have many people in this city. God's reminding him that his mission is not a solo act for us to accomplish on our own. We don't hold the whole weight of the salvation of the whole world on our shoulders. We just hold it for the next person God has for us to share it with. Yeah. I mean, do you ever experience a level of apathy of like, I don't want to do anything in life? Like there's a task ahead of you and you're like, I don't want to do this. In our household, sometimes Shelby and I will ask our kids to clean up their toys or pack away at the end of the day. And literally they will lie on the ground and go, I'm too tired. I don't want to. This is boring. But as soon as you offer food or the TV, they're up again. What we've found is we've introduced this thing of calling it giving a boost. Now, giving a boost to our kids is literally about just saying, hey, you don't have to do this alone. We will do it with you and we will help them pick up the toys. And it's this body doubling, really. But it's giving them a hand and reminding them that they don't have to do all this hard work on their own. We do it together as a family. And it seems to help them move and participate in the mission of cleaning up our house. I think God's reminding Paul in these moments, in this vision, you are not alone. Here, have a boost. There is a whole number of people in this city that are for me who can work with you to share faith with the Corinthians. And so in this verse, I think God gives him a boost. God even showed him that he was with Paul in these four different ways. He provided him with partners in Aquila and Priscilla, people who joined with him in this gospel work. He provided him with open doors, the house of Titius Justus being right next door to this synagogue. I think that was a God provision for him in that moment. He helped him by encouraging him through seeing the fruit of the gospel pouring out of that situation, of seeing all those people believe and become baptized. And he gave him this divine encouragement in this moment with this vision. God proved to Paul just in four ways in these few verses that he is with us, especially with Paul in that moment. So when we step out and we share our faith, we can do it in the knowledge that God who sends us is also the God who is with us. We do not go alone. Remember that. We don't go alone. We go empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because His Holy Spirit goes before us and with us. He goes before us laying the groundwork. He's already at work in other people's lives. And He goes with us and He can give us the words to speak in the moment when we feel like our lips are tongue-tied. He strengthens us and guides us. And also, we aren't the only ones called to mission. We go along with other believers. Either together, like let's go, like you and me, let's walk out this door together, or at least just in support of each other, encouraging each other along the way. So I don't think we have really an option to step away or avoid sharing our story out of fear, thinking that we aren't enough. I think our call is to step towards God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and to go walk in the company of fellow believers to join God in His mission. We are called to step into that. And part of that is to share Jesus where we're planted. But here's the key things I want us to think about today. First, share. Speak up where you are planted. What opportunities are around you to be able to share the good news of Jesus, either in your family or here in the church or out there in the world, in your workplace or wherever it is you're planted? Second, go knowing that God is with you. Know that God is with you. And third, remember that you never share alone. As we consider sharing our faith, that's going to stir something in us. As soon as I mentioned this morning, hey, we're talking about sharing our faith with people, what did that stir up in you? Did it stir up excitement or nervousness? Did it stir up a willingness or an apathy? Because I think we should be honest about that with God and pray about that and say, God, these are my feelings. I'm excited to share the good news. Help me do that even better. Or God, I'm nervous about this. I have no idea where to start. God, help me step foot out of my front door and be able to share the good news. Be honest with God. He already knows, but if we're honest with Him, it gets us in a better place to be able to receive from Him, right? Let's pray and express those and ask for His leading and empowerment and His confidence. At the same time, as we've been talking about this today, has there been anyone whose face has come to mind as we talk about sharing our faith with someone? Like perhaps God is prompting you and giving you an opportunity to share. Perhaps He's saying, this is a person of peace. Don't ignore that. Maybe pay attention to that. And see, maybe is God opening a door for you to be able to share your faith with them? Because we are all called to share as we participate in God's mission. And I think it is simpler than we make it out to be. You just think about your own story. It's a real story of the power of God at work in this world. Prepare yourself to be able to articulate it, to be able to share it with people, so that you can be able to give an answer for your faith when people ask for the reason for the hope that you have. And to do it gently and respectfully wherever the opportunities arise. Let's pray together, eh? King Jesus, I thank you so much for your word and the things it teaches us about living out your faith in this world. God, the mission you have called us into, to go out and to be your hands and feet and to participate in your mission in this world of renewing it back to yourself. God, today as we talked about sharing, we ask for your help and your confidence and your encouragement as we step out into it. God, for those of us who are natural evangelists, God, would you just embolden us and empower us and continue to give us opportunities to speak. God, for those of us who feel like that's not our natural gifting, would you help us to find the confidence to be able to share in the places that we are planted in. God, I pray for opportunities this week for us to be able to speak about you in our world, even in just the little moments, just a little conversation. God, help us to see those opportunities as not just a fleeting moment, but as a chance for you to be able to work in their lives through our participation. God, give us the strength to do this. Give us the hope and the confidence to do it. God, help us to see where you are at work. And as we slowly learn how to do this, help that to become our norm. I pray this in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.